Good day, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Father Blake Britton from St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today, we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven, except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we hear the closing of the famous interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. This is a pivotal point in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Typically, this is the gospel from which our Protestant brothers and sisters draw the notion of being, quote unquote, born again, that we must accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and be born again. What is interesting is that if we read the scriptures closely, Jesus never says anything about being born again. That comes from the lips of Nicodemus. It is Nicodemus's misinterpretation of what Christ is actually saying. The Lord does not say to be born again. What the Lord says is to be born of water and the Spirit. Later on, St. John, in his first letter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, will add the blood. He says the following, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies to this, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood." So, over and against Nicodemus's misinterpretation of being born again, Christ speaks about being born from above of water and the Spirit. Later on, John will add also the testimony of the blood. Where does John get this notion of adding the blood? We see it at the end of today's gospel, when Jesus points towards his own crucifixion as the place of being born from above. "For just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." When Jesus is raised up on the hill of Golgotha upon the cross, his side is pierced, blood and water flow out. He hands over his Spirit to the Father. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Brothers and sisters, the ancient church will recognize this as the sacraments of initiation. You see, it's not enough just to, of our own will, accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's not what manifests salvation. It's not about a personal, quote-unquote, subjective, individual relationship with Jesus. Rather, it is about being inserted into his very life, into the way that he shares in the world, the way that he participates in history, aka the church, the sacramental life of the church. The water is baptism. The Spirit is confirmation. The blood is the Holy Eucharist. This is how we become children of the Most High. This is how we become adopted sons and daughters of the Father. This is how we are born from above. Not born again, but are born from above as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. This is why the ancient church will make the very bold claim that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. There is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. What the Church Fathers meant by that is not that non-Catholics would go to hell. That's not what they're saying. Rather, they're saying it is impossible to encounter the living Christ in his fullness. It is impossible to enjoy the full benefits of Christ's salvation on this earth outside of Holy Mother Church. This is true. We cannot fully participate in the Christian life outside of the way that Christ exists. And how does he exist? In his bride, the church. Ephesians chapter 5. St. Paul makes the same exact claim that Jesus and the church are one. They are bride and bridegroom. That Christ has taken Mother Church to himself. And again, in his letter to the Romans, we are the body of Christ, the mystical body of Jesus. It is Holy Mother Church. It is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church by which Christ continues to manifest salvation in history. This is how we are born again. We are born of the waters of baptism from the heart of Mother Church, of the laying on of hands of her apostles, the bishops, and of the reception of her sacrifice through the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ upon the altar in the Holy Mass. So my brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of this reflection, let us firstly ask the Lord for the grace to be born not again, but to be born from above, to claim that identity, that dignity for which we have been created, to be born of water, not to take for granted the grace of our baptism, to be born of the Spirit, not to take for granted the gift of our confirmation, to be born of the blood, not to take for granted the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. For these are the three that testify. These are the three wellsprings. These are the three birthing mothers of Christianity, the water, the Spirit, and the blood. May they imbue our lives and make us truly alter Christus, other Christ, that share his eternal life, his grace, his gospel with the world. Amen. Thank you.